Novak, second by Counselor Kekinen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of council at
6:32.
6:32 PM. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 24-511, moved by Counselor Ryland, second by Counselor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held September the 17th, 2024. Discussion? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land of which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Back into open sessions, we'll have a roll call once again.
Councillor Morley Haskell.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Debbie Zuba.
Councillor Mike Kekinen.
Acting Clerk Administrator Craig Britton.
And Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and a personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. We have a delegation presentation from Ross Crawford, member of the Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee, regarding the proposal to install road signs at wildlife hotspots. Normally what we do is read the resolution itself, but of course that's assuming that we've already heard the presentation. So I'll put this out to council whether you want the presentation first or how you want to approach this. The presentation, okay, sounds good. So Mr. Crawford, if you're here, come forward to the mic. Multimedia presentation here, it looks like.
Thank you. So I'm a seasonal resident at 291 Center Road. And I've been coming here for summers now for 10, 11 years. So what's become sort of apparent to me over those summers, 10 years, is that turtles are crossing in the same place. I see them in the same places every year, usually in places where there's water on either side of the road. And most of the residents around here know about them too, in the same places, and the residents are even aware of how to move turtles successfully across the road without harming them and without getting bitten. And so it just seems to me that it would be appropriate to get some signs installed in these locations, and what I'm proposing is a kind of citizen science project where next spring we would round up a bunch of volunteers to sort of identify locations and have them document and prove places where turtles have been seen, and they would supply me with photographs, and then I would back to you sort of at the end of next summer and say these are the results, these are the places where we found a large number of crossings and that these might be the best locations to install these signs. And just these photographs here are examples of locations where I've seen turtles on multiple occasions over the years. That's a snapping turtle on the left that's laying eggs in the gravel next to the culvert on Center Road, sort of at Hawley's Road. There's after you've passed the transfer station and you're heading sort of south on Center Road, there's water on both sides and a culvert there, and that's a popular spot. But on the right hand side is a massive snapping turtle. I took a photograph of it next to my foot, another photograph, and it was probably a foot and a half long, so it's a massive creature, and it took my wife and I, both of us, to be able to carry it across the road with this shovel. And so that's on Center Road. That the hill in the background there is the rise just before you go curve that comes around, you know, after the bridge, and that seems to be another location. And this, in the center is that's a deceased Blandings turtle, and the Blandings turtle is listed as threatened in Ontario and is actually considered endangered by the Federal Species and Risk Act. So that's a major concern when one of those gets killed. And that was just north of the bridge, sort of in the flat there. I don't know the names of the residents around there, so I can't really describe it. There's not really wetland around there, but that's where that turtle is found. So anyway, that's sort of identifying the problem. This is what I'm proposing is the solution. And I actually brought, these signs are from the Toronto Zoo. And they look rather massive, but they're actually the same size as the hidden driveway sign. I hung this one underneath the hidden driveway sign, you know, that's across the road from us, just to show that they are the same size. And on the right-hand side is an example of one of these signs installed on Blue Lake Road in Seguin Township. So they are around. Sometimes there are older signs that are, you'll see in Muskoka, that are just for turtles, but I haven't been able to find those. I don't know if they're being made anymore. But these are made by the Toronto Zoo. They cost $55 each, shipping included. And then you need the U-channel standard, sort of U-channel pipe or posts to mount it. So I'm proposing that we could, our group, Lake Stewardship and Environment Committee has endorsed this proposal, and so we would round up some volunteers and even donations if necessary to be able to buy these signs. But what I'm hoping is to get your provisional approval to sort of proceed with this project, to actually, so it's worth time to the trouble of actually recruiting volunteers and fundraising and things like that. So that's just my part of the proposal. But Hannah Burke is also here from the Georgian Bay Biosphere Reserve, just to speak a bit about the value of turtles to the ecosystem.
Yeah, so I'm Tina. I am the Lands and Wildlife Programs Manager at the Georgian Bay Biosphere, but I'm also a resident of McKellar, so this is really exciting to hear that signs might be going up. We do have 34 species at risk of purple fauna, so that includes our reptiles and our amphibians within the biosphere region. And one of the things that I like to talk about when we're discussing why we should put up signs like this or why we should do initiatives around reptiles and amphibians is why we should care about them. So not only do people find turtles, but they're really enigmatic species. People think they're really cute. They really love seeing them. They love having them in their backyard here in the wilderness. But they also provide us with so much. Snakes and turtles are both really important for disease control. Our turtles are our water cleaners. They're our janitors of the lakes and the wetlands, so they provide us with clean water and remove harmful bacteria. Snakes, on the other hand, are huge for disease control. Some studies have shown that having more snakes, there's actually a lower risk of having ticks or Lyme disease in your region, so they're really important to us. Turtles, because they both live on land and water, they transfer a lot of nutrients, and that is how our plants grow, that's how our gardens are good, and that's how water stays healthy as well. They're also part of natural food cycles, so all the birds that we love eat snakes and turtles. Fish eat turtles. They're just part of that natural food web that keeps everything we love alive. And then they're also, of course, important for Anishinaabe culture. Turtles have a huge, they're part of the calendar system. They live on Turtle Island as part of their creation story. And then when it comes to snakes, they're often considered a medicine species. They're a protector of the medicines. So they play a huge role not only in the environment and in our love for them, but also the culture of the land. So why do reptiles go on roads? Oftentimes they use them for movement. they're going to still keep trying to go back to the places that they have been for millennia. They use them for nesting. The road shoulders and the gravel that we have is a perfect nesting site for them. They don't realize that it's not good for them and that they could perish trying. But instead, they see that it's the perfect substrate. It's nice and sunny. It's warm. It's a great spot for their nests, and so they use it. And then sometimes they're also on the roads for thermal regulation. They really want that heat from the pavement to warm up, especially in the springtime. But roadways threaten their safety due to the road mortality. And so oftentimes we see the wetland areas being representative of where snapping turtles are and where painted turtles are. But landings, like Ross mentioned, seeing them kind of in a more forested area, that's where citizen science really will come in handy, because these are species that move up to like 6 to 9 kilometers walking, trying to find a place for their nest. So they're not always associated with those wetland crossings that you can predict. They could frankly really be anywhere. So trying to find those points of crossing for them is really, really valuable, since they're an endangered species. And then I have a little note here, just the snapping turtles. A lot of people ask me why, like, there's so many of them. Why do you care? Why are these species at risk? And it is because they have threats from road mortality, from development, from a wide range of threats. But it's also their life history that puts them and all their turtles at risk. It's the fact that it takes them decades to reach sexual maturity so that they can't even lay a single egg. So for snapping turtles, I like using them as my example because they're the ones that everyone scoffs at. But it takes a single snapping turtle about 20 years to reach sexual maturity. So in those 20 years, it can't lay any eggs or try to replace itself in the wild. And then once it starts to lay eggs, it has to lay roughly 1,400 of them, or it takes them 63 years for one of those eggs to reach adulthood. So for one single turtle, it's about 63 years before that single turtle makes another turtle that can lay eggs. Mm-hmm. So that takes a really, really long time, and it's important to protect them of time difference. So while we see a lot of them now, if a lot of them are being hit on the road right now, we won't see those ramifications for a while. So it's important to protect them while we can. And then at the biosphere, some of the work that we do with the biosphere is a little more intensive. So we have partnered with municipalities in the past and townships to install wildlife fencing. So that's a more permanent structure that keeps wildlife off of roads. We've partnered with the public works departments to remove turtle nests from where they're actually doing road construction, to rescue them prior to construction, helping them with some of their permitting issues. But those are kind of more really intense projects. And citizen science is equally as important. So we had huge support with Finn McKellar in the spring doing our turtle nesting box program. A lot of people here are very interested. So it's really excited that I think they would be really excited to have a citizen science program to be able to pick up, move turtles, and know how to do that and feel like they're supporting them. And equally, another passive method is installing these road signs. Be aware of when they're driving to keep their eyes on the roads and look out for our wildlife. Yeah, we also do a training program with municipal staff. So if your department is interested in learning how to identify any species at risk, best management practices, invasive species, noxious plants, how to move turtles themselves across the road. That's something that we can provide.
Okay, any questions? Add to it? You okay?
Yeah.
Any questions of council? The resolution itself, which I'll be reading here, seems to cover a lot of the points that you were worrying about. concentrating on turtles, I guess, and maybe snakes, but I mean, I'm not sure whether the township has any deer crossing signs either, or I don't know how many we want to put up, because I saw a bear the other day too crossing, but
yes.
And my daughter asked when she was very, very young, how did they know what it crossed? Oh, that was rather interesting.
We emailed them.
Yeah. But I think that investigation, as you say, over time, even though the resolution doesn't necessarily speak to that, I think that's good to know the locations. And the resolution does reference 5 key locations. I don't know whether that came from your group or...
That was just sort of a starting point,
yeah.
A suggestion. I didn't want to suggest 20 locations and say, like, well, then we'll have signs everywhere.
Right, that's a concern too, yeah. And I guess the proliferation of signs, if you get too many signs, and people need to pay attention to them. So
yes.
You want ones that they will watch and
yes,
pay attention to. Any other questions from council? I think it's a good project, certainly. I'll read the resolution and see if anything you want changed in that. We have resolution 24-512, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the deputation from Ross Crawford. Sorry, Tiana, your name's not on here, but a member of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee regarding the proposal to install road signage in designated wildlife hotspots, and further that the Council approves the committee's proposal to identify 5 key locations where wildlife crossing signs would provide the greatest benefit, and further that the Public Works Superintendent be directed to assist the committee and the installation contractor in determining the appropriate height and placement of the signage in accordance with the Highway Traffic Act, and further that the Public Works Superintendent conduct a final inspection of the installed signage and retain the authority to remove or reposition any signs should they present safety concerns. I'll open that for discussion from Council. Councilor Beckman.
Yeah, I think it's a great proposal, and the turtles have been active the last couple of weeks, from very small ones to large ones, and when people are driving along, if they're not advised that this is a potential area for the turtles to be active, then they wouldn't realize until it's too late. So
I guess the other question is talking about an independent contractor here, whether it be the group itself, but or does council think that the township should be ones responsible for the installation as well as checking later if it's done correctly? Is that another thing on their job description you want them to do as they deal with signs?
I think that they're the ones that are familiar with the, you know, the criteria and parameters of where distance from roads, height of signs, that when they're inspecting other signs, then this could be part of that project.
There is another question that Ross mentioned, was the cost and whether or not we want the committee to try and fundraise for it or whatever. I mean, it's $55, Ross, for a sign?
Yeah, $55 shipping included. I already have 2, so we actually only need 8. But then the U-Channel posts to mount them on are another $50 each. I don't think the township probably already has some sitting
right.
In its
yes.
Public Works here.
My view, and I'm a member of the LCC, and I acknowledge that bias, but I mean, my view is
conflict.
I think it's appropriate for the township to pay for it. I mean, we can fundraise, which generates some public interest, so maybe that's not a bad thing. I don't know if you have an opinion on that. I mean, do you think it would help us out with this?
I think people would be happy to contribute. We're only talking about. If the township has the posts, then we're only talking about raising $500. I don't think it would be that difficult to do. What I'm planning to do next to sort of promote the initiative is put it out through Facebook groups, but also, of course, the market doesn't happen early spring, but certainly at events, and I will talk to the library and see even about putting a sign like this, in the library, just on the wall, and people can sort of read a little notification about it underneath. And if they're interested, they can contact me and add their name to the list.
My gut tells me that fundraising would be useful in terms of raising understanding of it, and hopefully getting support from people.
Yeah.
if you don't raise enough, then maybe we can ask council to pay the difference, but
right.
I would
exactly.
think that we could raise that, so.
Sure.
But I'd leave that to council and whatever the decision is, but.
And the one sample you gave too, it was one sign below another, were you talking individual signs, or could you double up with a sign? What's your preference?
I mean, that maybe depends on the highway code. I don't know if you can have like a sign stacked like that or not. I mean, it would be fine with me to have two signs if it was in a location where there's already an existing sign. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, we want them in both directions. That's why it's
right.
10 signs, because 5 locations and have them facing both ways. So,
yeah.
We can decide that once we've identified sort of 5 best sites, I think.
Yeah. Okay, Councillor Zula?
I was just going to say about the signage in the location where the crossing is might not be a sign there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have a,
right.
the you couldn't double up.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Just in case there's there are some locations that already have existing signs.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not as if it's a regulatory sign. This is more of a warning or a suggestion and advisory.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
Thanks for the initiative, and got the resolution out in front here. So, any comments from other members of the public or anybody opposed to this? Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a member of the Land Stewardship and Environment Committee, I was asked by Councillor Ryan that maybe I could speak to you for 5 minutes just about a Facebook page that the committee has created. I realize it's not on the agenda, so maybe you have to introduce a motion to give me another 5 minutes to speak to that.
I'll put it out to council, and we have to be careful doing this because the public is not aware that you would be speaking, so they might have tuned in if they thought you were speaking, and now they don't have an opportunity. That's the only thing. But if council's okay.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so just the committee has created a Facebook page as a way of disseminating some of the information that we're gathering. And I don't know if it's possible to pull up Facebook here, but I just wanted to give you a sample of one of the posts, which is about the recycling process as it exists now, and just sort of alerting people to the fact that answering some questions that they probably have about why the sort of guidelines and the signs around the transfer station have changed. And so several of us, traveled to Waste Connections in Bracebridge, and so I wrote up a little report about that, and I just wanted to show you some of these photos and videos are actually on the Facebook page. This is an example of the conveyor belt where the recycling arrives, and you can see this fellow is spending he's the first line of defense there, and the main thing he is doing is removing plastic bags from the recycling. That's what he does all day. It's quite the job, or at least for that shift. Maybe they move people around a bit, but so it was just to we put that up first because we just wanted to sort of drill that message home that this plastic bag should stay out of the recycling bins. This is just a photograph of the layout of the Bracebridge facility. It's quite massive. They process recycling from townships all the way between Barrie and North Bay, so they cover a huge area, and we had lots of questions about, because they have to cover that huge area, that's why they take glass, plastic, metal, everything together in one bin rather than having us separated, and then that would require having more trucks. So the problem with having just two bins is that people are inclined to just put everything in and hope that it will be recycled rather than sort of sorting it out beforehand. So that was sort of one of the big lessons from this, why Waste Connections does it that way and what the consequences Another thing that we wanted to point out to people, though, is that our materials are being successfully recycled. That sort of myth out there that people think it's like, oh, well, it's all going in the landfill anyway, and it actually isn't. This is the cans in particular. Aluminum is worth $2,200 a ton, and that's the most valuable thing that comes out of the recycling system. The next photograph, I think, though, is of plastic, and they also take these rigid plastics, 1, 2, and 5 type plastic, and that only fetches $300 a ton, but there are people that are out there buying it. So even hard plastic does get recycled. And then, I can't remember what else we have here. Oh, that's just our, that's us with the mountain of recycling in the background. As you can see, there's a lot of stuff to be separated out there. And then the next one is, I think, just another video of the conveyor belt. This is further down the line, and it just, they have 8 people on the belt because they're each one is sort of picking out specific things. Because as the next video will show, each of those bins that they're filling it into is for different materials. That the glass goes down one chute, and the cans go down a different chute, and the aluminum cans come out at the end. And so that's the process. And so we just wanted to explain to people who are curious about why the guidelines have changed, or apparently have changed at the that's just a blurb that I was going to put up on the and send to the MLCA to send out through their newsletter to sort of take them to the page and illustrate that. So yeah, just because the committee is appointed by and connected to council, I just wanted to sort of keep you up to date on that.
Does council exercise any control over Facebook groups that are ostensibly for the township, like this one? Or do you know, Carly? I mean, do we have Recreation Committee, I know, has Facebook pages, plural, I think, but did they ever come and say, can we do this, or did they just do it?
I'm not sure of the origin, but I think we do need to take a look at, like, our social media policy when it comes to committees, and we'll get back to it.
But that was my concern, just to make sure if there's rules that we follow the rules, that's all. So.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Certainly welcome to stay.
Can you eat dinner and watch online?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have resolution 24-513, moved to Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Riley. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Chantra McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the September 3rd, 2024 regular meeting of Council as circulated. We don't have September 10th, that was that.
I believe it was included in the first page.
It's on the agenda, but not in the resolution.
Oh, I see.
Resolution 24-514, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Councillor McKellar, has hereby received the minutes of the July 22nd, 2024 meeting of the Parry Sound Area Planning Board. Any discussion of those minutes? Hearing none, call the question. All those in favor?
2024 and August 15th, 2024 meetings of the District of Puget Sound West, it's in Belvedere Heights, Board of Management. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-516, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Pekkanen. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar is hereby received report FD-2024-19, month-end status update for August 2024 from Fire Chief Robert Morrison for information purposes, and further authorize the Mayor and Fire Chief to sign thank you letters to Firefighters Without Borders and the Town of Puget Sound, respectively. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. The resolution 24-517, moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received the accounts payable preliminary check run report for the August 2024 from Treasurer Roshan Cantia for information purposes. Any discussion? Question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Can I ask a related question?
Sure.
The infrastructure that Near North is doing for us, at what stage are we? I know you and I had a casual conversation about this, but
They're complete.
Are they?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. So, and I see in the check run that we're still paying.
Our previous
supplier. Yes,
so
that's
that
nice
was the
way
last
to say.
Invoice for that previous vendor,
okay.
Because we had a service contract agreement, so that ended September 1st.
Okay.
So now they're paid up to date, and then now it'll just be Near North Business Machinery moving forward.
Okay, good, thank you. That helps. So.
Resolution 24-518, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Pekkanen. Be it resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar acknowledges the receipt of the letter dated September the 6th, 2024. From the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee concerning the arena for pickleball users, and further direct staff to proceed with the immediate opening of the arena washrooms prior to the installation of a tankless on-demand hot water heater, noting that washroom users will experience a temporary lack of warm water for hand washing until the installation is completed by the contractor, and further direct staff to obtain a quotation for the replacement of the two burnt-out fluorescent lights in the arena and to repair the light that remains on above the post office. Further direct staff to explore options for concrete repair putty to address minor cracks in the arena playing surface floor, and further resolve not to approve the Recreation Committee's request to drill holes in the arena floor for netting installation, as such modifications could result in damage due to the annual flooding required for ice surface creation. Discussion? Any members of the Recreation Committee wish to speak to them?
The REC committee discussed it, and it was suggested, just send a letter to especially staff, and maybe they can resolve some of these issues, which I like the motion, and I think we're fine with, not drilling holes in the concrete. As soon as that was brought up, I kind of thought, well, no, that's not a great idea. One thing that wasn't touched on in the motion is about the rolls of tape it takes to redo the lines, so are the volunteers for the rec committee okay to paint the lines on them? Was that talked about?
No, that wasn't discussed. I know one of the public works staff does go to town to pick up the tape for the rec committee.
Right.
I'm unsure as to the lines, though. I don't know how it'll impact other sports using the arena.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure the layout for the pickleball courts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we'll have to put a little more thought into that, maybe, and I can talk to the rec committee members, it seemed to.
Do you know if the tape lasts like a pickleball season, or are they having to adhere it to the ground?
It says reapply twice a year.
Okay.
So, and we'll to, it may
yeah.
mark off to, kind of thing. And I guess, yeah, how much is the tape? So, anyways,
we can investigate that further.
Oh, okay, sure.
Maybe see what other municipalities are doing in their pickleball courts, because I know in gymnasiums they have lines for volleyball, basketball, different sports in there, and so you're aware of, you know, what sport you're playing and what lines are used. They're intermixed, so I'm sure that they have something that would work for pickleball as well. And I don't know if even to inquire a line painting company what you know, what kind of paints they use, and just looking at that today, just because I was wondering about Center Road and line painting for that. And so there are companies that would specialize in line painting, and you could always just expression of interest or just see what, you know, what's available.
Yeah. Yeah, I would almost think for what's left in this season that we just let it run out and they just let their lines deteriorate, and we'll come up with a plan going in the next year whether it would be better to paint or whether we have to continue to tape.
Are there lines used for hockey in there, like a blue line, red line? Like, in other words, would these lines, if they were there, would they in any way interfere with the use of it as a rink?
I don't think so. I don't think you see them through the ice, do you?
I've been in there,
yeah.
But I've never looked.
The lines are shown.
You can see them.
He puts where your coating on, you can still see the lines.
Right.
Councilor
Keck? So, over the years, we've had the majority of our lights in areas changed to LED because of the cost savings. Is that something that we would look at for the arena as well?
Yeah, I can price out what LED would be and what just replacing the bulb would be as is.
Is it, and there was actually, I think, I can't remember if there was some grants that went along with that, because the payback of the LEDs to pay for the entire cost of the installation of the new LED systems over whatever it was, 5 years.
Yes, Councilor Zulai.
Yeah, in regards to the washer, I was speaking with Public Works before, and he had said that that it was mandatory that you had hot water.
So
is that true?
We've received conflicting advice from the health unit. I'd previously emailed the health inspector, and he had told me that they had to be hot. Hot water had to be coming out of the taps for hand washing, and if hot water wasn't available, we had to close the washrooms. And then since then, I spoke to another health inspector just this week about another matter, and while I had him on the phone, I asked the same question, and he said, no, the water doesn't need to be warm for hand washing because it's not attached to the facility with the kitchen. If it were in this building, then it would have to be hot water because it's in a outdoor use arena, it can be cold, and we won't see any charges from the health unit.
Okay, yeah, because I was questioning, saying, you know, you don't have to have hot water in the potabories, right?
Yeah, yeah. So,
so
we just received
yeah.
conflicting
yeah.
information.
No, that's
on that basis, then why would we pay for a tankless water heater?
Just convenience. And
I know we'd have to firm up the answer and make sure it's correct and complete, but I'm sure that's a reasonable expense to install that, to have hot water, right?
Right.
In the summer, you don't mind cold water, but if you're using it up in the off seasons where it's a little colder, you might want a little bit of warm water.
When you come out with icicles on your fingers? Yeah.
What's the latest right now with the, I think we had one report there with the, is the women's washroom is
yes,
available
the women's
now?
Washroom is open and functional now, and the men's need some repair still, but we'll open it regardless. So
the people know that it's open, or there are signs? There used
we'll
to be signs
the,
on them.
Yeah, we'll let the pickleball players know when they come in next.
Okay.
So also, the post office washroom was opened, right?
Yes,
for
it
them
is.
To use?
Yep. Yeah, the lock was changed, so any member of the public can use the post office washroom.
Yeah, and that opens at 8:30?
Depends on
the
post office's hours.
Yeah, I thought you were all going to open that up at 8:30 when you open the office until those washrooms were fixed? For the pickleball people?
Yeah, and the washrooms in the hall are always open 8:30 to 4:30 Monday to Friday as well.
And this light above the post office, is there some story behind that?
It's a light that stays on continuously. I'm unsure as to if it's a sensor that's needing replaced. It is high up on the building, so it will need a lift to repair. So that will just be encompassed with the arena lights to be cost effective.
Okay.
I just have one more question.
While
sure.
we're talking about fixing stuff, what about the mortar when you're coming up the stairs that's coming off the bricks there? Could that be not mortar, whatever it is?
Purge.
Yeah,
purged.
You've seen it, right?
It's crumbling off.
Yeah, it's coming off. It's just, I don't think it would be a big deal, but I mean, it would sure make, you know, little things make
well,
it
we've had
better.
Some public works crew working on the gazebo out here with plaster, so I don't know whether it's a special material that you use there. I don't know. But
I don't know. I was just thinking, it's not a big job, but it would... You know, little things
yeah.
keep falling
right.
apart, and you don't fix them. So,
so I think that these details, like even the cracks in the arena playing surface, these are kind of things that Public Works, when they give the report on inspecting facilities and township assets, you know, this is part of what should be continually ensuring that we're prolonging and making sure that all our assets are maintained before they become to the point of no repair.
Yeah, we can't fix them.
Yeah.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-519, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskin. Whereas the Township of McKellar and Greater Prairie Sound area faces challenges related to limited access to transportation, and there exists a pressing need for a ride-sharing service to address transportation gaps within our rural communities. And whereas ride-share services are increasingly relied upon by seniors, students, visitors, and tourists, and residents looking for safe, affordable, convenient, and reliable ways to travel. And whereas the standardization and consistency of regulations across municipalities, particularly in Ontario, can improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the regulatory framework, and whereas transferring the responsibility of rideshare regulations and licensing to the provincial level would contribute to a more streamlined and uniform governance structure while eliminating associated red tape and unnecessary administrative costs, now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby expresses its support for the migration of rideshare regulations and licensing from the municipal level to the provincial level, and further be it resolved that the Township of McKellar formally requests the Governor of Ontario to initiate the transfer of responsibilities in the interest of creating a more coherent and standardized regulatory framework for ride-sharing services across the province. And finally, be it resolved that copies of this motion be distributed to the Honourable Doug Ford, Premier of Ontario, the Honourable Pradmeet Sarkaria, Minister of Transportation, the Honourable Paul Calandra, Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, the Honourable Graydon Smith, Member of Provincial Parliament for Prairie Sound Muskoka, and the Association of Ontario Municipalities, AMO. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-520, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Whereas the condition of a section of Hardy's Road and additional road sections in the Township of McKellar has been noted by a ratepayer to be experiencing surface deterioration, and whereas Duncor Enterprises and Miller Paving Limited specialize in pavement preservation and road rehabilitation and offer a range of services including slurry seal, micro surfacing, fog seal, and surface treatments. Now, therefore, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar directs staff to contact Duncor Enterprises and Miller Paving Limited to schedule an information session allowing a representative to explain the various pavement products used on municipal roads. Discussion? Councilor Kekkonen.
So, through the years, you know, we've basically been treating our road maintenance as grind and redo the entire road. Then there was And 2 years later, approximately, then we usually do a slurry seal. So that's been this standard modus operandi for our roads. But there are other options available, and looking what Perry Sound did this summer, they did quite a few roads with micro sealing, and so, you know, knowing that that's a viable option, and that the pavement resurfacing providers provide approximately 8 different grades of sealing, and some which are more appropriate for certain sections of road depending on their condition. I think that you know, we have to look at that as a viable option. I looked at the budget as well, and one of the things that we were using as a road maintenance practice previously was the rubberized road sealing, crack sealing, and we haven't done that for quite a few years. So there's different ways that we can ensure that we get the longest life out of these assets, and I think the more informed that we are when we're discussing budgets, we can determine that you know, what option is most suitable for sections of roads. So we're not waiting till the road is completely in a deteriorated state before we actually you know, take some action. So I did call. I did contact Dunkor and Miller Paving Limited, and they were very pleased to have an option, and they wish they would get more calls from municipalities where they can come give their presentations to make councillors and staff and the public aware of the different options that are available. So they would be more than willing to come for give a presentation at a council meeting. And after they've given the presentation, and they want to know sort of what the audience is, so are they making a presentation to engineers, the lay public, or those that have a little bit of knowledge? And after that, or in conjunction with that, they would be willing to come and do sort of a site visit to look at certain sections of road to advise specifically what product would be most suitable for the road that's in that type of condition.
Well, that sounds good, and I'm wondering if we should have a list of roads through our public works that they're considering where this treatment could be used. We just drove through the Bunny Trail today, and parts of it are micro-surfaced, micro-sealed as well, like you say, Prairie Sound. And I think it'd be good, not only the one that was mentioned here, this individual on Maplewood, for a section there anyway, at least leading into, but even from, you take the transfer station down through to Herdville Road, and Herdville Road itself is probably beyond micro-seal. I'm not sure if you just want to cover up what's there already, because over time it'll come up through there. That's what we saw on the Bunny Trail as well. There were some parts that were well-paved beforehand, filled in with cold patching, etc., and it was coming through the micro-seal. Depending on how long it's on there, because it is a surface treatment that doesn't promise that it's going to keep everything covered forever. I like the idea of having them come. It's just a question of how to organize it, I guess, and whether you want two different companies in here at the same time. And do we have a list of roads for them to investigate? And you'd have to certainly look, too, at our procurement bylaw and make sure that they're following. That's almost like an invitational tender with two people. And those are the people, the companies that have submitted bids before, and there aren't that many out there, that's true. So I would certainly like to have our public works involved, and also maybe our engineer, if we do this fairly soon, to get their opinions as well. But I think it's an excellent idea, just a matter of organizing it. Councilor Peck?
A couple of points. So there's approximately 8 different options for the type of surfacing seal, and one gentleman he mentioned, there's one that they found very successful. It's a little more pliable and stands up better for the northern type of climates and road conditions that we have. So we've been going with two products. We've been going with slurry seal and micro seal, and prior to that it was just micro seal. But then I presented some information to one of the previous public works superintendents, with the option of the micro seal, and that's what we've been going with. But if we, if there's eight different options that are available to us, and that might be suited better for our road conditions, I think that we would certainly be well advised, you know, informed to know about those products. And but yeah, if the engineer wants to attend, the one gentleman I was talking to, he's a PNG, and so if our engineer wants to attend and public works staff, that's fantastic. We need to, you know, just the more informed everyone is, the better results we're going to have in the end, and the better financial situation we'll be in as well.
Yeah, I would think that's, you know, you're looking at some kind of a business case as opposed to the pavement and the cost and the duration. How long is it going to hold up, and that sort of thing. So we need some kind of a business proposal. I would say an engineer on the township's dime, as opposed to an engineer who's part of the company who might be submitting the bid. I mean, you want some separation there. So,
yes.
And they may not agree. That's true. We'll have to take that into consideration. But I like the idea. It's just a question of getting it organized, I guess, how it's actually going to work, the logistics. Ideas.
Do we want to have them at the next council meeting? At least one of them?
I don't know. In the meantime, let's just say we have to also talk to Public Works and to the engineer to make sure that they're available. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know what the timing is. It might. And I know the sooner the better, but you never know when the weather's going to turn.
Don't say that.
No, I don't. But I'm wondering about. Maybe the mid-October meeting, that might be better. If that's,
it would give
more
time to get organized. Yeah. The other thing that comes back to me is in the roads needs study that we had, Tatum had identified a bunch, and I think probably 8 to 10 failures with roads and categorized them. And I'm wondering if there's a way to connect that type of thing. So if we can identify the situation being this, that their proposed solution would be that, right? And they were quite graphic with pictures, and even an idiot like me could understand that, because I go, I see roads like that regularly, right? So I don't know that they're connected, but they might be. So
So I think if we send them the roads need study and say, can you structure your presentation to address, you know, these specific road deterioration situations?
And yeah, I didn't want to cut you off. I'm just not sure whether we should go that far, because as we know from Public Works in the past, the roads need study tended to say these roads are priority and they're very secondary minor roads, and that there are other major roads that we thought were a priority as opposed to some of the ones in the study. So I think we have to be careful what we send to them.
No, but only that section of the roads need study that
That's
was
right.
showing the
okay.
specific road deterioration.
I think they had like two or three of those categories, if you want me to call them that, on a page. And I think there was, again, just memory, I mean, 10, maybe 12, maybe less, types of degrading that had happened, right?
And
so
it wasn't specific to Hardest Road. It was saying that when you notice these type of symptoms, then you know that this is taking place, your ditches aren't deep enough, or your ditches are too deep, or your base isn't good enough for you. So like just to ask, with these road deterioration situations, which of your products would be able to address these issues?
Now I'm thinking too, we should have, I don't know when this course is, that somebody from Public Works is going to be going on low
beginning
volume roads.
Beginning
of October. So there's more information for us.
Sure.
How to maintain these roads and take care of the, make sure that
I think it's great. I thank you for taking that time and effort, Mike, to do that and bring it forward. I think that would be a good opportunity. So
we've had different proponents come here. We've had the food cycler. We've had HR Limited, and you know, they're providing some information on what options are out there, and if we know more about what options are out there with roads when we're making budget decisions, I think that's helpful to everybody.
Especially because roads is one of our top
that's one of the things it was saying was that for approximately between one tenth to half the price, return on investment.
Sure.
If you can do that, it's well worth it, because when you look at Center Road from the transfer station to Herdla Road, 90% of that road is in 99% of that road is in good stable condition. So why would you want to capture that now before it starts, deteriorating even further?
I'm wondering if rather than try to squish a lot of that information in on a council meeting, whether we'd be better off just to have a special daytime meeting when these folks are probably working anyway and our road super can attend, and maybe they could even take time to maybe even travel roads like, say, Hardy's, Burnett's, and Tate's that we've refurbished in different through the past years, and so they kind of have an idea of what they're looking at. They could drive them before they come to the meeting and tell us what is going to be our best bang for the buck to make sure these roads stay in place. Just, I hate to see it all rammed through in half an hour at a council meeting when there's other stuff going on, where it may be something to consider. That's just my thought, that it should be. It's quite important, and I think it's probably sounds to me more like a 2-hour meeting for sure, maybe 3.
Yeah.
So that's a bit too much to throw in on a council meeting, I would almost think.
And I'm sure there will be a lot of questions.
Yeah.
What would we work with Carly Ayers to try to organize a special daytime meeting? And I think, as I say, somebody should be doing some work in the meantime to prepare for that. I mean, somebody from the township itself that looks at what roads in particular. You don't want them traveling every road in the township, so you want to go certain ones, as you say, certain ones that have been done and certain ones we're thinking of doing, and make that available to them so that they can investigate those even before coming to the meeting. That sounds good.
Would we consider asking the public to identify poor roads, or would we be buried with
I think it's
every road they're on. That's
yeah.
I think we can, if we want to drive them, or Tom could. Okay, these are certain roads that looks like we're going to have to do something, over the next few years. Okay, we want the best bang for our buck. What do you recommend?
And I think that's important. And if you just go by the public, unfortunately, the complaints that come in, you travel those roads yourselves, and it's all a question of, what are you used to and what's livable and the expectations.
Okay.
Some people come with the highway approach and expecting that through the township, which never had that. So I think we have to take that, as you say, people who are in the business and working here, I think they can give us an idea. Yeah, I'd certainly want the public involved, but I just think it's probably too soon for that to put out a popularity questionnaire.
You don't want Sharon Park Drive done?
That's been mentioned out how many years, but it's never been done, has it?
Robin Road would still be better.
Yeah.
A few dots down the center would be good.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to discuss that too. Yeah. Anyway, anything else on this resolution?
So staff is going to organize.
Can you just provide me the contact info if you want to speak on that?
So it may not be mid-October, but I mean, that's something we'll aim for.
They seemed open to October, November, December.
Yeah.
So, but October would be ideal. We could actually see the roads before snow starts happening, and then we're
Don't.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Okay, resolution 24-521, moved by Councillor Ryden, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-71, the bylaw to appoint a clerk administrator at first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed in open council the 17th day of September 2024. Discussion?
All in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Carly, can I make a comment about the one word about the job description on the very last page?
Sure.
The first sentence under working conditions, psychological environment, we need to add a word between convened and evenings. I just was going to put during in the middle of that. So it's, again, it's a minor thing, but just I think makes it better.
Yeah, I think there are a couple things probably in
the
job description. I don't know whether it's in this one or the other. I looked at statue instead of statute. But they're just a little typo thing, so I don't think it's a major concern.
Where was that, David? Sorry.
I can't remember.
Yeah, okay. I'm quickly reading through trying to find it, but it doesn't matter.
The other one.
You can do a word search and find it. So.
Statutes is there, okay. Position summary. It may have been the other one that we were looking at. Yeah, it's probably in the other one that I didn't mark out. So. Unfinished business. As of September 17th. New business. Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. Councilor Zula.
Just in regards to the municipal association meeting next Friday. You want it to pass these out to everyone?
Sure.
The agendas?
I have
so that's the agenda for the, it's next Friday.
Yeah. Is it different than the one we have previously received?
No, it's the same.
Oh.
Okay.
There was a few minor changes, but nothing too extravagant.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then just on the library, they were going to get in touch with you, Mike, regarding the Ontario Federation of Anglers. Remember you said there was a thing that Terry was going to get in touch with you to find out what that flyer was so that they could contact them and get
added on to that map.
Have it added into them.
Yeah, that's good. Because they supply fishing rods and lures, they supply that stuff.
Yeah, like we at the library had the fishing rods, but I don't know, and the tackle boxes, but I don't know if they received any lures or that. But their name, it would be good to have, you know, the name in there.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard anything from them, so.
Okay, so. And that's it.
Okay, any other committees, workshops? Nope. Okay, on to
other business.
Public notices, announcements, still on 24. Yeah.
So can I discuss the Public Works report that we received?
Probably not. I'm not sure if that went into the agenda package.
Okay. Understood.
If there's a particular item under new business.
No, it was just about the report.
Okay.
I'll just discuss it later.
Doesn't sound good.
Maybe later after the meeting? I don't
know.
Well, I thought we were going to talk about it, like, because he was given his report, so I thought we were going to be discussing that in the council meeting, so that's okay.
So do they actually end up in an agenda someplace?
No, but he will provide like a public report to go in the agenda. Just his position now is project administrator. So once he takes on, if he were to take on the role of public works supervisor, then those would go into the public agenda.
It's just about the bylaw officer report. No? Okay.
Consent agenda. Resolution 24-522, moved by Councilor Keckner, second by Councilor Zulak. The result of Council of the Corporation Township of Kellerman hereby receive the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish pulled from that? All questions, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Any questions, comments from the public to items on the agenda, either in person or on Zoom? Hearing none, we have resolution 24-523, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. We resolve the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-72. The bylaw to confirm the proceedings of council of first and second reading. Further read a third time in past and open council this 17th day of September 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In resolution 24-524, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Dulac. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
7:30 p.m.
Whoa. What did you forget?
7:39?
Did you forget something,
yeah.
Dave?
PM to meet again on September 19th, 2024 for a special meeting of council or at the call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.